Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
You need to remember that if you're having trouble in your relationship with Jesus, you really don't have a time issue. It's not that you don't have enough time to do it, because you will take time for your priorities.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern-day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's infusion of the truth.
What's the one thing? What's the one thing? Everybody say one thing. So turn to Luke chapter 10. I want to read for you a verse that came to my mind regarding this. And we'll pull some things out of the Word today that I pray will be an encouragement and a blessing and a challenge all in one as we walk out of this place today back into wherever it is that God has you planted and maybe into your other home church that you're going to go back to. We can carry some truth back with us and make a difference in the world that we are in. Amen. Luke chapter 10. And for right now, I just want to look at one verse. Look at the last verse of Luke chapter 10, verse 42. This is what Jesus is saying. He's speaking to Martha. He's speaking about Mary when he says to Martha, "But one thing is needed." Everybody catch that? It's pretty simple and straightforward. Jesus said, one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. If I could ask the Lord, what's one thing that I could share today? He said, well, why don't you talk about the one thing? Jesus said, one thing is needed. Your translation may say necessary. One thing is necessary. I read one translation that said, one thing is worth being concerned about. Boy, that sounds like an important thing to get a hold of, especially if it's coming from Him, amen? So we're going to preach a sermon today for the next 3 hours called, I just assume if I say that and if I go longer than 30 minutes, they'll be like, well, it wasn't 3 hours. So I've entitled this, The One Thing. All right, let's pray about it. Heavenly Father, Lord, right now we come to this place. God, I'm well aware that if anything good and right and eternal is to take place in the next few minutes, you have to do it. There's nothing that I can do to affect that apart from you having your way. So, Lord, I pray a simple prayer, one that I often come to at this place. Lord, would you send the one that makes preaching easy? Would you send the one that makes teaching your word easy? God, would you send the preacher, your Holy Spirit, into this room? Father, would you grab a hold of the hearts and minds of my friends, these family members of mine in your celestial body, Father, this family of Christ? Would you grab a hold of my family, my brothers and sisters? Would you open our ears and anoint us to hear a spiritual word? Would you anoint me to speak a spiritual word? Heavenly Father, above all things, if my words in these next few moments are not your words and I'm just wasting your time, so God, would you go ahead and just preach this for me? In Jesus' name, amen. One thing is needed. I couldn't help but think about, as I was studying for this, a movie came out several years ago. I think it was 1990 or so, so it's been a few years. How many remember seeing a movie called City Slickers? Anybody watch that one? Okay, so here is the little warning. that goes along with this illustration. If you haven't seen City Slickers, and it's been decades since I have, and you go back and watch it, and you say, I cannot believe a preacher watched this movie and told us about it. How many of you know that the movies you watched 20 years ago, maybe not the movies that your heart's been okay to watch today? I don't remember it being a bad thing, but if there's something that ain't, you know, I'm just warning you, I don't remember. It's been 1990. Here's the scene that comes to my mind, though. The movie's about three guys. They're city slickers. They're big-time city guys, and they're worn out with life. They need a new perspective on life, so they feel like they're going to get that by going on vacation. How many folks have ever gone on vacation just thinking God was going to reset your buttons, right? You can get back feeling fresh. So they go on vacation, and for some reason, these guys decide to go on a cattle drive. They're from New York, right? They're going into the desert to drive cattle from point A to point B. And the cattle drive boss was this grizzled old cowboy, Jack Palance. Remember Jack Palance, the actor? Jack Palance looked like he was carved out of granite. And he was the perfect guy for this role. Just looked like he was made of spring steel and raw hide. And so he is the grouchy, grizzled, old, rough cattle-driving boss, right? And then the other guy in this scene is Billy Crystal. I don't remember his name, but the old cowboy's name was Curly. All right. So in this particular scene, they're riding their horses side by side, and they get into some conversation, and the old cowboy begins to share some life advice and encouragement with Billy Crystal's character. And here's how the scene goes. I don't know if you remember this, but he looks at Billy Crystal and he says, you want to know the secret of life? And he said, it's this. And Billy Crystal said, your finger? It wasn't his finger he was talking about. He said, no, it's one thing. Right? One thing. The old cowboy looks at the city slicker and he says, the secret of life is one thing. He said, you figure that one thing out and you'll have it made. All right? So what are we all waiting for in the movie? For him to tell us. Well, the next scene, he dies. Sorry to ruin the movie for you. That was in the middle of the movie, if I remember correctly. They turn around the next day and he's out of there. Never got a chance to explain the one thing. Can you see why that came to my mind? Can you imagine, what would it be like if you and Jesus got to have this conversation, right? Jesus is riding his horse. Kelly, you're on your horse. Got your cowboy hat on, right? What if Jesus looked over to you and said, Wes, you want to know the secret of life? It's one thing. And then, since he's never going to die again, you don't have to worry about the next scene him checking out, right? You're going to get a chance for Jesus. How many would like for Jesus to explain to you the one thing? Wouldn't that be a neat moment, right? Well, have no fear, because he told us something about one thing. You remember the verse we read just a few minutes ago? He said, one thing is needed. And so, unfortunately, the next verse does not say, and the one thing is, but I believe that if you'll hang with me for a few minutes, we're going to be able to pull from the life of Mary, and I think I'm going to be able to show you what the one thing is. And when we leave here today, if you don't leave here with anything else, I think you're going to be able to leave here knowing the one thing, all right? So here's how I want to do that, very simply. We're going to speak about Mary, the mother, the sister of Lazarus, sister of Martha, good friends of Jesus. How many times does she show up in the Gospels? Let me help you. Three times. Three moments of Mary's life. Three episodes that we're going to take a look at today. The first one, this verse we've already looked at, is in that moment. So I want to look at this moment. I believe there's a great life lesson, Christian walk lesson we're going to pull out of that. Then we're going to turn to the next one and look at it for a few minutes. And then the third one. And each one of these, I think Mary is screaming without saying, a fantastic life lesson, Christian walk lesson. I hope you take notes today, because I believe I want to show you some simple things that you can look at in your everyday life. Because Jesus had something interesting to say about Mary. He said one thing was needed, and Mary's got it figured out. She's got it. And when she got it, nobody can take it away from her. So I don't know about you, but it was exciting to me to be refreshed and remember some simple things pointing toward the one thing. Are you with me? Say amen. If you're not with me, shake your head no. If you don't care, just say pfft. Okay, good. Nobody made that noise. All right. So most of you are with me. So let's look at this particular story first, right there in Luke chapter 10. I want to read a few verses and then make a few comments, and then we'll bounce to the next time Mary shows up in the Gospels. Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38. We're going to be looking now. You be the detective as we walk through these three moments in her life. You're looking for the one thing. It's there. I'm going to show you. By the time we're done, you're going to see it. Verse 38. Now it happens as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And here's the verse that comes around again, verse 42. But Jesus turns to her and says, "Martha, you're distracted, right? By so many things. Here's verse 42. But one thing is needed." And Mary's got it figured out. You remember that story? You know, one thing I see in this particular story, this episode of Mary's life, is that Mary was one that had learned how to seek him with persistence. If you're writing anything down, write down number one. Mary has found out how to seek him with persistence. Here's a truth about life. You will spend time on what is important to you. You don't even have to spend time thinking about it, and you have to schedule it out in your day. What is important to you, when you make your priority list for the day, subconsciously or not, the thing that is important to you, you're going to spend time on. Let me say it a different way. You will seek after your priorities. You'll spend time on them. There's a verse in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, Jesus, very familiar, Jesus speaking. He says, "Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will knock, and what will happen? The door will be open to you." Let me tell you a secret about this verse in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. These verbs are written in the Greek in a continual action. We have this concept that the Christian walk is like one trip around the merry-go-round, then you get off. And in many cases, that's not true. Here's what Jesus says. Knock. And when you start knocking, don't you ever stop. Knock and keep on knocking. Seek and keep on seeking. Ask and don't quit asking. And the things that you're knocking for, and the things that you're seeking for, and the things that you're asking for will come to those who persistently seek him. All right? How many married men are in the room? It's an interesting thing about guys. We're wired differently than girls. Have you figured that out? How long did you have to be married to figure that one out, right? We ain't the same. Hey, and the things that make us different do two things. Number one, they make me go, "What is wrong with you?" I don't say it out loud now. And the other thing it does is make me go, "You are hot." Same differences make me puzzle, and they make me say, "Wow, that's a good-looking woman," all at the same time. Guys aren't like girls. We kind of, without thinking about it, have this mindset, this concept of we chase after things with passion and with enthusiasm until we catch it. And then we sit down and pick the remote up. How many have heard that old concept of "I told you I loved you when I married you"? Anything changes, honey, I'll let you know about it. How many also heard "happy wife, happy life"? Those two sayings, butt heads, let me tell you. What am I saying? Tell her you love her. You pursued her like you were a hound dog before you married her. On the trail. Till you treat her, then you went home. Hey, just because you catch her doesn't mean you're allowed to stop pursuing after her. Chase after her. Pursue her. Seek on a continual basis. Don't stop. We often do the same thing with our relationship with Jesus. We seek after him while we're in need of him. But once we grab a hold of him, once he's fulfilled that moment, that hard time, that difficulty, We tend to go sit down and pick the remote up. You need to remember that if you're having trouble in your relationship with Jesus, you really don't have a time issue. It's not that you don't have enough time to do it, because you will take time for your priorities. You will take time to seek after the things that are important to you. It's not because you don't have an educational problem. Lord, I just can't understand all the stuff in that Bible. I can't read it like Brother Scott does. Let me tell you something. It ain't your brain that teaches you the Bible. It's the Holy Spirit. If you'll get serious about getting in there, he'll show you some stuff. It's not a time issue. It's not an educational issue. Hey, it's not a my life is overwhelming me issue and I just can't get back to it. You will take the time to pursue what you're serious about, what's important to you. If you're having a relationship issue with Jesus, it's not any of those problems. It's a love problem. Got a love problem. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commands. Mary has figured something out. There's all kinds of things in that moment that she could have been distracted with and doing in the home. The most honored guest on the face of the earth has walked through the door. Should we be mad at Martha? Is Martha just a bad person? Do you know we need servants? Absolutely. Is there a time to serve? Yes. But listen to me. Can you seek him while at the same time serving him? The problem was not that Martha was doing something wrong. The problem was that her motivation and her priority was in the wrong place. Let me share something personal with you for a moment. About 5 years ago, Truth Infusion Ministry is really getting off the ground. There's a whole lot going on. We're working on getting this band together. We got new folks coming in as ministers. We're getting out there and getting involved. I was ministering as much then as I was now on a regular basis in front of, almost said audiences. You're not really an audience. In front of congregations and groups, conferences, revivals, Sunday morning services, worship services, what have you. We're really busy, but I've come to realize in that moment of my life about 5 years ago, I was busy for the Lord, as busier than I've ever been, but inside I was more dry and more worn out than I think I'd ever felt before. Well, that doesn't seem to go together. David, you're ministering, you're leading ministry, you're always working, but at the same time, you're spiritually sawdust. I'm telling you, it was the truth. I'll never forget getting away with Chuck and with a friend of ours named Jason. We went down to the Little Missouri River, our pastor's cabin down there. He said, go, just take the cabin for the weekend. I was sitting on a porch swing facing the Little Missouri River all by myself saying, God, what's wrong with me? I don't understand why on the inside I feel like I'm starving and on the outside I'm more busy for you than I've ever been. And finally the Word of God broke through my hard-headedness and he said, David, the problem is you come into my presence on a regular basis, but you're coming here for everybody else. You're coming here for sermons. You're coming here for information for that person. You're coming with a prayer request over here. You're serving people this way. You're serving people that way. You're seeking me for everybody else. You stopped seeking me for me. You stopped coming into my presence just to say, I want to be where you are. Seek me for me. God says. So I walked miles that weekend, said, God, what about this issue in my life? I'm really struggling with the relationship problem here. What am I going to do about this person? He said, you seek me for me. I'll take care of that. Well, God, there's this ministry thing going on, and you know what's happening. It's very difficult, and I don't know how to handle this. He said, I tell you what, David, if you'll start coming into my presence and just wanting to spend time with me, I'll handle that for you. What about this? Seek me for me. What about that? Look to me. I'll handle it for you. Yeah. Seek him with persistence. There's a lot more we could say about this moment, but turn to John chapter 11. It's the next episode in Mary's life. John chapter 11. I'm doing this chronologically. In other words, this is the next time in a timeline that Mary will show up on the scene. It's a familiar story. We're not going to read the whole story, just a few verses. John chapter 11, verse 28. And speaks of Martha at the beginning of verse 28. When she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, The teacher has come and is calling for you. Brother, I want to preach that sermon right there. That's a sermon in itself. The teacher has come and he's calling for you. But we're not going to preach that today. Verse 29. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Verse 31. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, she's going to the tomb to weep there. That's where her brother Lazarus had been buried. Verse 32, then when Mary came to Jesus, where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Let's read just a couple more verses. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled, and he said, where have you laid him? And you know the rest of the story. Second thing I find in Mary's life that I think you ought to write down, it's noteworthy. She believed him exclusively. Mary had learned how to believe in Jesus exclusively. I'm going to make a statement. I want you to respond, okay? Don't think about it long. Just respond with what you feel first, right off the top of your head. Here's the statement. Jesus is all you need. Amen. I knew that would be your response. Amen. Jesus is all I need. Amen. Well, it's interesting, though, to me when I consider David, and I think about this line, Jesus is all you need, and my response is, yes, Lord. Then why is it, if I agree with that and I say amen, when the storm comes up, the first thing I do is run to something else? Everybody in here that has a relationship with Jesus Christ knows in your heart of hearts he is all you need. You know that. I know that. Then why is it when it's a medical issue, I go to the doctor first? Why is it when I've got an emotional problem, I go to my wife? If I know he's all I need, then why do I turn to anything else for an answer? Because there's a big difference in my head knowing he's all I need and in my life walking that out and living it every day. What I'm talking about with this moment right here is faith issue. What is your faith exclusively focused on? Everybody in here has faith. The issue is not whether you have faith or not. Is what are you focusing your faith on is the issue. Because what you put your faith on, child of God, is what you are looking to for help and assistance in your moment of need. What you are putting your faith focus on, that is what you are looking to for your help and your assistance in the moment of your need. When you look to anything else, you are placing your faith on that thing as the source of your answers. There's a lot of verses in the Word about faith. That which is not of faith is sin. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith. Hey, our part of this Christian walk equation is the faith part. God has given you a measure of faith, a gift of faith. This is the most, maybe one of the most important things I say for the whole sermon. Listen to me. Your job is to take the faith, the gift of faith that God's put in you, and to turn it toward Jesus Christ with this mindset. You are all I need. You are my strength. You are my hope. You are my wisdom. You are my patience. You are my joy. If I can't get it from you, I'm going down. I've got to have you or I'm going to be busted. I need Jesus. And Mary had figured that out. Now listen, let me show you why I think that. You got to use your sanctified imagination with me. Martha and Jesus are having a meeting outside of town, some dirt road. He showed up and she got there. Mary is where? Where is she in this time? Come on, we just read it. Where is Mary positioned? She's at the house. Who else is at the house? Talks about all the Jews. This is family members, friends. I'm sure there's religious leaders that are there to try to be a comfort and a help in the family. You know what's going on in the kitchen? There's every dish of chicken you can imagine. There's about 20 dozen fried chicken just all over the counter. 45 versions of chicken spaghetti. Hey. Lazarus has died. You know what we do. Well, they're brokenhearted. Send them chicken. Amen. It helps me. A lot of good things are going on in the house, right? Can you picture Mary, though? I see her sitting on the end of the couch, loving people around her, but she's got a faraway look in her eyes. Because as much as those that are there are a comfort to her on a physical level, she's not looking to them to fix the problem that she's got. She's glad for them to be in the room. It's a blessing to her that the pastor came by. She appreciates the prayers of the faithful. But honey, that's not enough for Mary. She's looking for another kind of answer. And he ain't showed up yet. And I think she's got a longing, long ways look off in her eye. Martha slipped into the room. She didn't make a scene. She just walked over to where Mary was and said, "The teacher's here. He's looking for you." I can see it, boy. She got up. She didn't say a word to nobody, but she was getting some yonder, amen. You know what that means? You know where yonder is? Way over there, hon. She cut a trail. She was getting from where she was in that moment of need to where the answer was. Hey, just coming up and down the dirt road was her answer. And she was going to find Jesus. She'd been waiting on him this whole time. She knew he was going to eventually get there. All she needed was a little crack in the door. He's just down the road, honey. Well, that's where I'm about to be. And Mary went to what she knew was the answer to her problem. Why? Because she had faith on him exclusively. Hey, all the other stuff was wonderful and helpful. It wasn't the answer to her issue. We've got to learn how to put faith on him exclusively. Correctly placed faith will open the floodgates of grace into your life. How do you get the grace, which is the answer to whatever problem you have? The answer, the help for your problem is grace. How do you get it? Put your faith on Jesus exclusively, and God will open up the floodgates of grace for whatever your problem is.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.